Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, folks, this is the diary, and it is Sunday, August something. Hold on. August the 9th, and this is your host, Stacey Johnson, at the Association of African American Single Mothers Studio, also known as HOME. And today we are, of course, once again listening to reggae music because reggae music makes me happy. And we're going to be discussing today and for the next couple of days the warriors of the African American experience post-slavery. The real warriors, the people that propelled us forward, that died for us, that planned for us, that had meetings for us, and once they were gone, it was gone. That's why I call myself a dream keeper. That's why I call myself an Orion warrior, because I believe that they expected someone to really continue on if they were to go, like I would expect somebody to continue this for me, at least give a damn. So today we're going to talk about the economic dream of Dr. Martin Luther King. We're going to talk about the plans of the Black Panthers and what they intended. And let me turn down the music. Hold on. Hold on, but we still want to listen because music was designed to make us happy. Oh, there we go. There we go. We're going to have that in the background. That's good. All right, so we're going to talk about the warriors of the Black experience here in America, and the fact that what makes us any different from those guys? Why could they sit and plan and do and see a brighter future for America? And honestly, who's doing that today? What makes them so special? They could do it, die for it, but yet almost 50 years later, we sit around and we don't celebrate it, we don't honor it, we don't continue it. So I believe, just as my parents who are dead, would want me to continue with the values that they instilled in me, which I do and I instill in my children and my grandson, I would expect that the honorable Dr. Martin Luther King and the tough and honorable and never hold his tongue Mr. Malcolm X and the badass Panthers, the real ones, would expect us to keep on in their honor, because what they did for a reason. They didn't do it so they could get a show on Saturday night. They didn't do it so they could get a contract to be viewed and be taped on some bullshit. They didn't do it to look like they were representing Black America. They did it because they loved Black America, and they put their lives on the line. And to me, we are falling so short here in America as Black people, let alone myself. And, you know, I did well for myself. And the reason why I'm able to bounce back from any adversity, because people cared about me enough to teach me and help me and train me. So I'm able to help and train other people. And if you're in a position where you can help and train and all you think about doing is going home and doing nothing at the end of your day, if you're not giving out to someone, especially if you're a Black person that is successful here in America, you are really a selfish bastard if you don't plan as part of your journey to bring up. Imagine if those people, if the Panthers, if Martin Luther King, if Malcolm X didn't do for us, didn't put it out there for us. The reason why Martin Luther King is dead today, okay, well, he might already, you know, he might have just died from old age by now, but the reason why he was murdered is because he was trying to give a brighter economic future to his people and to all people, but his people first, at a time when, oh, my God, they just throw a smoke bomb through your shit or kill your kids, blow up the church, didn't give a damn, go to court and be found innocent. But they still did it. What made them so special? And we can sit on our asses and let Black children starve, and all these young Black men are in prison. We don't care. We blame it on them. We say, oh, it's this and that, but then we don't do anything. Oh, as soon as somebody Black dies, we throw on a fucking hoodie as if you're really doing something other than being stupid. The real doing something is getting out there every day. Go help a kid. Go help a kid. And you know 99% of adults don't know math. That's the first thing you can do. And that's what my plan has always been to do. If you know math, go help a kid with some math. Because if he can feel comfortable with math, then he can learn anything. That's, we need to, it's as if we just got free somehow. That's how I feel in my soul. For as much as black leadership out there is in America, I feel like we just got free and we just been free. A couple dudes tried to help 50 years ago. We killed them. We stopped because we don't like to be killed it for stuff. Who are you as a black person today to think you could just ride on the things that those people did for us? So we need to start talking about what they did. We need to start talking about the black people's campaign, okay? And why isn't there somebody doing that today? You know, the NAACP, the Urban League. Okay, great, fine. What the hell? What is the purpose? What are you doing? And see, back in those days, you was just treating black people like shit. Today, you just treat poor people like shit. Case in point, I met a wonderful lady today at Wally World, Walmart, when I'm doing my little shopping. I've learned how to use coupons. Oh, my God. Couponing is wonderful. You save so much money. So I got really good stuff with coupons. So I'm talking to some lady, and I don't even know how our conversation started. This little, short, little Caucasian lady, and somehow she started talking about her kids and how the school is just coming down on her kid. And, you know, he's always getting suspended. He's never like that with me. And I was like, look, you preaching to the choir. I said, and they want to put him on drugs. I'm like, look. This is the society we live in. The teachers are paid to be babysitters. They're not there to teach anybody. Maybe one or two of them, okay, but I went to private school. My kids went to public school, and I could see the remarkable difference. If your kid goes to public school, you better step your ass in there every day as if you going to public school because they're not going to learn anything. And if they're a black male, oh, my God, they just setting them up to go to prison. My son was arrested for not showing the teacher the gum in his mouth. That's when I knew, God, please just get my kids out of this public school system before I come up here and shoot somebody. Okay? So I told her, look, we got a law. And for other mothers that don't know, I don't know if it's just in California, but it's most deaf in California. Enough of those parents get together, sign a petition, take it to the school district, say, look, we vote these teachers, this principal, this vice principal out. And here are the reasons. It's got to be a certain percentage of the parents at the school to sign the petition. I'm like, look, go to aaasm.org. You'll see me. Send me an email. If you get the people together, I'll show you how to do it. Oh, thank you. I'm so happy I met you. And she's not black. That's what's wrong, well, in a lot of places, but most deaf here in Sacramento, is that they look at me with the crazy blonde hair and forgot to fluff it up even when I had a cone head in Walmart. Don't care because that's not me. My me is my spirit. And I want to scare you so you won't be up in my face. I'm too sweet to people. They walk all over me. So I got to approach them. Once they see, oh, she's not crazy, she's nice, then they tell me what's happening. That's what the world should be about. That's what America should be about, especially in 2012. Think about this, people. Information that I was supposed to report all last week, but I was on my jolly from the Democratic Convention and I didn't have a show. But the night that our dear President, President Barack Obama won, Paul Ryan and some other, the night he won, the inauguration night, they had a dinner. Paul Ryan and some boys, look it up on the Googles, okay, on the Googles, on the internet. Meeting, dinner, oh, nice, giggly meetings. Just planning on how they're going to undermine our president. Not planning on how they're going to go, oh, he's a Negro. Oh, God, let's talk about how we got to work with this Negro for 4 years. No, they go there and talk about how they can undermine the Negro. And, of course, 4 years later, we know exactly how they've been doing. You know, America is sick. And what's more sick is that black America stands for that shit. We are all the black caucus. They mad President Obama hasn't made laws for them to jolly about and be on the TV about. That's all. You ain't done nothing for us so we can be on TV. That's all. Because you old farts have been there since probably I've been born, 1964 or before, since they started putting programs in place for Negroes. Because they know we will burn your shit down and ours if you don't. Okay? You've been there, old ass people. since I was in kindergarten. My parents had to pay for me not to grow up and be the average Negro. So what you been doing all this time? You know what I'm saying? What made Huey and Bobby Seale and Martin Luther King and Malcolm X all so different from the average nigga today that's got 10 million more resources than those men ever had, have more respect in America than those men ever had? But yes, they got 10-point programs, they got poor people programs, they got poor people, black people business programs. What do you have? I don't even want to start calling names because God said you judge when you call those names, but they know who they are. Where are you at in 2012? You know? And I play my music on Saturday and Sunday because I work my ass off during the week because I have an opportunity to make a lot of money to put into my program. You know? You ask somebody to give something other than to some bullshit, they're not going to do it, just like Joyce said. You know, everywhere you go, people talk about money. But talk about money at church and they get offended as if you did something wrong. Well, you just keep going on and not giving. That's why God said, look, you figure out how you make your own money. Because I need people to donate. When it comes to real black programs that actually affect a household of black people, you don't see a one of them. You don't see a one of them. And when I try to be one of them, I was ignored for so many years that I gave up on it. But you know what? You don't really ever give up on your true dream. But I had to get broke down enough to know what's up. You know, I can't just sit by, and people shouldn't just sit by and see black children in the condition that they are. Prisons are full of black people. Oh, they just want, it's the perception that black people are the ones that are the murderers and the robbers and shit. No, because there's so much racism in this damn country. My friend, my good friend that actually helped me, gave me money, or this white dude actually gave me money, which you think a racist wouldn't do, wouldn't help a black person. But he actually helped me. So I'm like, oh, he's not too bad. But then you look at everything on Facebook that he puts up there, and it's totally racist. And it just mesmerizes me that you could spew hate but then help somebody. I'm so confused. But what I'm not confused about is the condition of my black people. That's what I'm not confused about. My screen went black. What time is it? Oh, good. 3 minutes. All right, so we need to start talking. Okay, so my opportunity, you know, those of you that don't know, I have a consulting firm that I do during the week as well as this. And I have a wonderful opportunity. I help people in the bidding process. Very complicated, very crazy and time-consuming. But for every project we win, I get basically anywhere from 6 to 10% of the project price of whatever we bid. Most of these prices are some McDonald's, so you're talking $200,000, $150,000. If I'm lucky enough to do what I do well enough, and I just say, God, you know what we doing. You know what we doing. So I put it out there because I know God knows the exact number to make, help me win the framing, the drywall, the flooring, the this, the that, the bathroom. God has the number for me. That's why I tell my son, look, you can't come around here and tell 3 or 4 or 5. Me and God, we got to get this right because I could be a millionaire in a week. So I don't typically have no company, no talking, no people because me and God got to get it right. Because I say, God, look, all that money, remember when I had a job and I was making 60 G's and all of those tax returns, $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, without hesitation I gave it to the program, to the people. Remember that? Well, let's do that with the projects because this is easier. And he said yes. So that's what we're going to do. But if you want to help me out, you can go to aasm.org, the website for the Association of African American Single Mothers, and donate 50 cents. Greg gave me a dollar. Even Greg, my racist friend, would donate a buck every time he got a check. And he gave me an enormous amount of money when I was homeless. That's why the world is crazy. Let's just love each other. Be the racist that you are. Accept people. That's what you got to do. We got to accept people for who they are because, yeah, I think he's a racist, but he probably thinks I'm dumb. You know, we got to accept people for who we are. But our main concern is, again, today we're talking about, and we will in our last 15 minutes, we're talking about Dr. Martin Luther King. We're going to start that first, the Black People's Program. Where is that? Who? Unfinished business of Dr. King. The unfinished. Do you understand what I'm saying, people? How do you have a 50-year gap, okay, of unfinished business? That's like, okay, I was born. My dad did something when he passed away. He passed away when I was born. It's clear to me, and it should be clear, that I should maintain. How do you have a 50-year or so gap on business? And everybody claimed to be, you know what, and Al Sharpton, learn how to say your organization. Black people, what is it? Action Network. That's all you say. Action Network. What? What's it called? Because you know you don't do anything. So you can't even say it. That National Action. And with him, see, that's what I'm saying. Don't call yourself a black leader. Just say, I'm just a black person that everybody knows. And you guys always ask me questions about black issues. I never said I was a black leader now. Come on, baby. You know, Action Network. What's it called? What do you do? Where is it at? And if you're a reverend, how often is church? When can I come to church? Don't call yourself this and reverend. You ain't that. Yeah, that perv over there in Aiden and ATL, boinking little boys, he's a reverend too. Ashy Red Work. Oh, yeah. And every response. That's why I was like, take him off. Take him off, MSNBC, because every response was, well, you know, back when I was dealing with President Clinton. When? What day was that? Email that interview to me. Oh, well, you know, back when I was dealing with Obama. When? What date? We can Google anything. So you know what I'm saying? That's what we got as black people. We don't have the honorable Dr. Martin Luther King really with some concrete shit willing to put his life on the line. So what, you die? So what? We die. But what do you do while you're alive? That's, you're scared to die. Well, you're going to die anyway. You might as well die with the legacy of something done, at least something attempted. Just like, oh, and what's his name? They gave him a job on CNN, whatever his name is, that comment, and I never have read his comment yet. Oh, this security around here in North Carolina, this is terrible. The security, it was better here. You're a black man. It's a black president. That's all you can tweet? You know, that's just the irrational, dysfunctional nature of black so-called figures in America. We glorify the bullshit in people, but once again, where the unfinished business of the Poor People's Campaign organized by the Southern, okay, don't they still exist? The Southern Leadership Conference, somebody, they too busy fighting over who's going to build the statue and it wasn't even a black person. You know, dysfunction in America, that's why Asian people look at me and they just giggle and laugh because they know ain't nobody going to help you do nothing. Your own brother won't help you, let alone the country. You know, I'm gonna build my own country somewhere where black people give a damn about being black, give a damn about the legacy of where they came from, and understand you don't have the luxury of being ignorant anymore. This is the diary. I promise we're gonna spend a couple days because we're going to talk about the Poor People's Campaign. Just like I say, Black People Business. Wednesday, the poor people. Same thing. This is a diary where we love you, and we got the reggae going. We got the da-da going. We got the everything going. So I'll be back very shortly. I'm going to take a break and go make potty, I think. Yes. And we're going to play. Didn't change the music, but let's play Funky Dan because Funky Dan is a good song. I'll be back, and I love you. right, all right. This is the diary, and this is a host, your wonderful host, Stacey Johnson. I'm just a chick from L.A., the youngest of 11 kids, and in love with my parents. Why so more now? You know, you don't understand and appreciate what you have until it's gone. But, you know, that's wonderful because I can still live on and respect their values and work for the things I know they would have worked towards. You know, my mom was very political. I mean, I went with her to vote every time she voted. Okay, so she never let the situation pass because, you know what, my mama born in 1922. They didn't have the right for so many years. That's why, you know what, we just negligent. Let's just say, okay, you know what, we have been faulty, and we just need to stop our faultiness and move forward and do the unfinished business of the Poor People's Campaign. You know, black people, that'd be a good thing for you to do, Black Caucus. Continue this. That'd be an excellent thing. It says the Poor People's Campaign addressed the issues of economic justice and housing for the poor in America. And it didn't say the black Poor People's Campaign. You understand? It said the economic justice and housing for the poor. Because poor, we usually, well, back then, we primarily, or we just paid attention, we made sure that the majority of the poor people in America were black. So, yes, you know, and a man of this type of man, you know, a man of this deep nature and the love that he had, and I truly believe Dr. Martin Luther King did practice the teachings of The Secret, because nonviolence is one of the principles that is the same as non-resistance. You don't resist something. You know, when you resist it, it persists. So he's like, yeah, you can beat us, but in the long run, that act of you doing that is going to show or going to bleed compassion in the hearts of those that don't look like me, and we're going to get the job done. But then once he started to push forward to, okay, now we can vote, now we can sit in the bus, wow, we can sit in the front, now let's go on and get our money right. And that was the Poor People's Campaign. The campaign would help poor people by dramatizing our needs, okay, or their needs. I don't consider myself poor. Dramatizing their needs, uniting all races under the commonality of hardship and presenting a plan to start a solution by gathering Washington, D.C. in the spring of 1968. That's where he was going to start it, under the Economic Bill of Rights. That's what he was asking for. The Poor People's Campaign asked for the federal government to, okay, the thing that he stopped, you know, I guess the thing that the Republicans stopped, I guess it reminded them too much of the Poor People's Campaign. It's an economic bill of rights. The Poor People's Campaign asked for the federal government to prioritize helping the poor with a $30 billion in anti-poverty packages that would include a commitment to full employment and guaranteed an annual income measure and more low-income housing. That guaranteed an annual income measure. So we had a guaranteed annual income. King told his aides that, let me scroll up, that the SCLC would have to raise nonviolence to a new level to pressure Congress into passing. See, this is a man that knew what I'm going to do is going to cause so much outrage, so much rage in some of Americans that, yes, they're going to, that's all some of them know how to do is to respond with violence. So he let the people know. He had the plan and he let the people know. We got to raise nonviolence to even a higher level, because they're going to try to just set us on fire, they're going to bomb us. And, you know, I don't know. Well, I put everything I have in God, so I would do whatever God told me to do after careful time with God. But I spend careful time with God every day, so I've kind of made that a habit. And if I feel something deep enough in my gut and it messes with me, I know that's the Spirit of God speaking to me. And I move in that direction. That's what he did. He had to let the people know, hey, look, we gonna get our asses beat more. This is gonna da 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 more. Everything's gonna be more. So, when reporters asked King about the campaign's tactics, he focused on the moral dimensions of the crisis. You know, morally, You know, and that's basically it today. It's immoral for people to understand that this goes on in certain communities and have the power to stop it, prevent it, help the people. Nobody's asking, not once. And that's why I have the worst nonprofit ever, because nonprofits are supposed to ask for money. Well, where I come from, we don't ask for nothing. We just make the money and we get what we need. Because asking people for something is usually a no. You know, that's why it's like, God, please bring me a volunteer that likes to ask. Because, you know, so back then as of now, it says America is at a crossroads of history, back then as today. And it is critically important. This is what he said. America, this is from the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, America is at a crossroads of history. And it is critically important for us as a nation and a society to choose a new path and move upon it with resolution and courage. In this age of technological wizardry, okay? What year was that, Dr. King? What year? I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Even before my break? Oh, okay. In the age of technological wizardry, you got to love the man. Because he was grateful for what he saw, and he used what he saw to make not only himself better, but other people better. If you don't wake up every day and that's a primary goal, you're not living. Let's go on. In this age of technological wizardry and political immortality, the poor are demanding that the basic needs of the people be met as the first priority of our domestic program. That's what he says. The poor are, in his words, he's talking for the poor. Who's that? Who's talking for the poor today that's black and really talking for the poor? Not talking at them, not talking after they dead or talking at their funeral. Who's talking? You see what I'm saying? This is some bullshit in America in 2012. That's why, you know, I ask God, help me do the things, help me be the one, be the change you want to see. Well, there they go. Like my grandson said, there they go, Ganny, there they go. Well, there they go. And we're going to end it with my boy. But God is good. He always comes with the right songs at the right time. Oh, it's over. Well, Bob just said, every little thing is going to be all right. Because what we do at the Association of African American Single Mothers, we know there's a God, and when you know there's a God, that God tells you truth, and the truth sets you free. And when you're free, you can do what you need to do to set other people free. So over time, I need you to join the Black People Business Wednesday on Monday thing tomorrow, because we're going to continue with Dr. Martin Luther King what we didn't finish. We're going to go on to Malcolm X, and we're going to go on to the Panthers, because all these groups, all these men, black men, excuse me, black men, excuse me, black men had something better in their minds for black America. Wake the hell up. But I can do it for you. I ain't no punk. My mama didn't raise no punk. This is the diary where Stacy ain't no punk. Go to the website, donate 50 cent. Everybody got 50 cent. Even 50 cent got 50 cent. I love you. Be with us tomorrow at 8 o'clock. I got some things to do because I got some bids to win, 6%. And I can bid $1 million easy a month. So 10% of that's a lot of money. Love you. See you tomorrow. Get around. Not me, not you.